You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Srđan Tunić. He's talking to me from Montenegro. Srđan, thanks so much for being with me today.
Hi, Brainerd. Thank you for inviting me.
I feel like I should ask you first, what's Montenegro like? I know you recently moved there, but I've never been there. I've been to, you know, maybe Ljubljana, which is not that far from there, but I imagine Montenegro is very different. What's that like there?
Yeah, I'm originally from Serbia, and I just moved here like a few months ago, so I'm living somewhere in between. It's interesting, you know, it's a small country, but then I'm in the capital, in Podgorica, and everything is nearby. If you want to go to the mountains, if you want to go to the seaside, Albania is near, Croatia is near. You know, it's very interesting.
So tell me a little bit about your activities. I know you're writing, curating, but what are some of the projects that you're currently involved in?
Currently, before joining the conversation, I was just making some crafts. I'm making some crafts from polymer clay, and that's kind of a pastime that I'm doing. And it also sometimes brings some money, you know, which is nice. But you know, it's an amateur thing. Professionally, I'm an art historian and freelance curator. One of the things which I'm working on in the past, let's say, more, a year or so, is a street art project. Another colleague and I, Ljiljana Vjadošević, we just joined to start making tours around Belgrade, Serbia, for foreign visitors, because we figure out, okay, we have a lot of knowledge accumulated over the years, so let's try to make it, you know, interesting for other people as well, and also money-wise, because, you know, getting money from culture can be tricky sometimes or demanding. So that's something which I'm doing in the past, like, about 2 years. So what we do is we're organizing tours around different parts of Belgrade, talking about the history of graffiti and street art, both internationally and locally. We want to talk more about the local artist, and then, you know, some more general stories about techniques, you know, about some challenges, what's the city saying about that, you know, what are people saying, what's going on, and so on. So we're trying to connect the dots somehow. Apart from
that's almost like a docent in a museum, because you're giving people an education about street art itself, as well as artists and the area, it sounds like.
Yes, so the project Street Art, it's called Street Art Walks Belgrade. We wanted to present it as researchers, but as curators as well. And it's very similar to like curatorial guidances. And we are trying to see, you know, can we make some cooperation with a culture institution, you know, like a museum or a culture center. For now, we've been cooperating with tourist agencies. So we're trying, you know, to see how to popularize that knowledge and that information we have, but also keep, like, you know, like a professional line and have it, you know, more in an education manner.
And that's exciting. I like that. And it seems like it would be enjoyable too, kind of walking around and looking at that and talking that. And is there also other curatorial projects that you're involved in at the moment besides that one?
So currently, I am working with an artist from Egypt, Omar Hussein. He was in Belgrade last year, and I saw his work for the first time in person. So I'm trying to see how to get him around in the region. You know, either applying to some grants or maybe some artist in residence programs. So it's I would say it's a research and love at first sight. You know, when you see somebody's work, you know, you want to work together, you want to see what are the ways you can do it. I've been mostly working in this region, in Serbia and the Balkans, so I have a professional network established that I'm trying somehow to tap. I think there is a lot of organizations and a lot of gallery spaces which opened recently in the last few years. So I can tell you more about that as well. But one of the curatorial projects I would like also to mention is called About and Around Curating, or Kustosirvanje in Serbian. I'm working on that one with a colleague, Andre Beretta. Actually, we started making that because we wanted to make a constructive critique of the environment we were working in. You cannot get an education as a curator. You can pass an exam and can build it according to your practice. But then, as a young curator, I remember having loads of questions and not knowing how to deal with professional challenges. So we started the project to share, a knowledge about what is curating today from different perspectives, from different people, asking different curators what's going on, creating a kind of a toolbox so we can share it with young or upcoming curators. We were mostly focused on the independent sides because both of us were working and are still working as independent curators. And then eventually we developed exhibition projects where, all that knowledge and talk we were just putting into practice and collaborating with institutions such as art gallery U10, Mixer Festival, Belgrade Youth Center, just to mention a few. And at some moment, we also had a chance to turn the project into an academic course. So we were actually teaching in 2012 for a semester at Belgrade University. So it was very spontaneous and very interesting. But as I said, it was kind of a project that was filling the gap that was existing. And I think it still exists, but in the past few years, there is more talk and more courses happening in regards to curating. So I think that things are moving somehow forward.
You mean more courses, around that project, or just in general, there's more courses in the area with regards to curating?
In the area in regards to curating, and there are much more initiatives right now happening, And I think it is important because it's a kind of a professional support to people who would like to work in the field. And then, when you look at the West, you can see that there is much infrastructure provided. But then locally, you either need to work for a museum or a gallery, or you simply need to, build your own practice independently. And people say independent, but actually you're not so independent. You're depending, on many funders, on, opportunity, on professional networks and opportunities to get some funding so you can build your own thing. So I would say that it is very challenging, and then every kind of a support system or network is very useful.
Absolutely, and that's interesting because you're kind of talking about the culture of curating, right? In the West, as you say, there's independent curators, there's institutional curators. Curators have a kind of wide latitude about what they can do and how they can move forward. That sounds like you're saying it's somewhat of a new field in that expanded way there. It's not something that a lot of people are used to, that is how curators move in the world and establish mm-hmm. their practice.
I would say yes, because we have the typical picture of a curator who works in a museum, but it changed a lot because even the museum curators needed to learn a lot about marketing and PR and social networks and fundraising and writing projects. And then if you don't have an institution, if you work in freelance, then you need to build up everything from scratch, and then you're focused a lot on making projects because those projects will generate some funds. If you're working in the institution, you might or might not fundraise, but some funds are already there and you have a building where you work at and so on. But independently, it's a little bit different. And I think that a lot of people do not relate independent curating with traditional curating. So it's a kind of a new thing. But as I said, you are always depending on things, on networks, on funding, and so on. And I think there is a lot of, a lot of challenges that we have today. If you're working independently, you need constantly to be networking because every contact might be a possibility for you to do another project and to receive some funds consequentially. But I think it's also very dynamic because of mobility. I think people are much more mobile today, and you can learn more easily what is going on in the world. And there are so many festivals and so many professional events that you can join and, you know, just do your own thing or develop something with somebody from another country, for example.
Absolutely, and it really is. I mean, curators, of course, have a pivotal role in the culture of the country they're coming from. I mean, artists do too, but there's a relationship between curators and artists, of course, that is essential to building a culture or sharing the culture from any given country or state or city, really.
Yes, yes. And so in a way, you're relating to a local culture or local history, what were generations before you doing, or important institutions, and then you're trying also to relate it to what's going on today, what are the trends that, you know, you need to know if you want to be relevant or if you want to introduce something different or something new. I mean, it's always a challenge, you know.
Right. And I want to talk to you about one more thing also. If you don't mind, I'd like to talk about your crafts a little bit, as you phrased it there, because you know, your curatorial practice, you know, there's things you're doing that, I mean, the street art isn't so conceptual based, but some of it is. And there's in all the interviews I do, especially in Eastern Europe, so much of the work is conceptually based. And you're doing something, you know, as a curator, but really also as an artist, you know, whether you phrase it that way or not, you call it crafts, not art. But it's something that's kind of beautiful to me in its approach. It's you've been making small things as a child, and this is an extension of it, right? You're using something that looks to me like I don't know if it is Sculpey. There's a material called Sculpey that allows you to do. Is that what you're using? Can you talk a little bit about that process you're using, because you're making these polymer clay brooches and miniatures and teeny little figures.
Yes, so it's similar to Sculpey. It's Fimo. This one is a German one, but it's all polymer clay. Actually, as a kid, I wanted to become an artist, and I was very much into, you know, sculpting and so on. So I abandoned that at some moment because I was thinking I was much stronger, you know, to become an art historian. But then I was always making something, you know, even, you know, when I was, you know, when I was studying and so on. And I actually came back to this because one thing, it's easy for me to make presents for somebody. And the second thing is that I figure out this is a great therapy. And apart from that, you know, it's a feeling where I'm not depending on anybody except for myself. I would get the material. I would learn from what I see. There are loads of tutorials on the internet. I would try doing something I see other people were doing, and I'll be trying to develop something on my own. So in a way, I'm not related to any projects or something like that, but I'm also researching myself, you know, what's in me, what would I like to do with this. So in a way, it's very interesting, and part of it is unplanned. But then in the meantime, I decided that I would like to open up for example, commissions. So I have a deadline, I need to do it, you know, seriously. I started exhibiting at local markets, and then I really started seeing how many people were making something with their hands. You know, it's a great change when you're sitting at the computer and you're writing a text about art, or you're Skyping with some partners, or you're writing a project, and then you do something with your hands. I think it's a different way of thinking about things, and I don't know, I still see it as a kind of an advanced hobby, but who knows, maybe, you know, maybe I continue doing this in the future, and then that might be a chance for a new interview then.
Yeah, that would be a chance for another interview. I'd like to talk more about that. And to me, it's very interesting, your approach, because, you know, in so many artists that I talk to, they're talking about the theoretical approach, the context of what they're working in. And what you're doing with these crafts that you're, as you're saying, selling at markets, I mean, they're also designed to sell, it seems, you know, these are could be used in dollhouses or brooches. People wear these. You can let go of the kind of weight of thinking that you have to justify why this is your art practice by calling it a craft or a hobby, right? I mean, to me, there's an innocence mm-hmm. to it. It looks like you're obviously having fun doing this. Just imagining you doing it, I kind of wish I was you, you know? It looks like, you know, kind of a really fun thing to do. I had a friend when I was a kid, girl who was making things like this, and I would always look at them like amazed. You know, she'd make these little pieces of food which you're doing, you know, that looks like it should be in a dollhouse, and it's a miniature world, and you know, just kind of like architecture miniatures almost. There's something that's so attractive about it. It's like another world you're going into. So, you know,
it seems at once
innocent that you're making this, and also freeing because you don't have the restrictions or the pressure of thinking, I have to prepare for a gallery and maybe one of these should be huge, right? There's something that seems playful almost about it.
Yes, you're totally right, because I don't want to have any constraints. So I would like to, you know, see where the next step leads me, and I wanted to be very spontaneous, so I didn't want to weigh it down with any concepts. But then over the time, you know, I'm increasing, you know, the workload, or I put a challenge saying I'm gonna make, I don't know, 100 these little things, or now I'm gonna start making jewelry, or I'm gonna exhibit at this fair. So I'm trying to see how much I can push it. On the other side, as a curator, you know, we need to write statements. I have my way of working, but I'm also adaptable. One part of my experience and education is working as a culture manager. So, you know, both fields are, you know, demanding me to put myself in certain brackets. So, I don't know, when I'm working on projects, I would like to say, you know, that I like participating in projects which are, as people say, participatory. You know, it's a kind of a organizational structure where everybody have a say, which are democratic. There is a so-called flat management where there is no one boss, but, you know, we are all coordinating and we are all, you know, working together, and because we want to be in that. We want to achieve something, and I see those goals of being neutral, for example, you know. As a curator, I'm also kind of adapting to artists, but I put, you know, artist need first and then see how can I contribute. My background is a lot in education as well. I used to work for the Museum of African Art in Belgrade, where I used to work in the education department. So that kind of explaining things and guidances, that also goes through the street art project and some other things. So there it's kind of more certain, because I was researching it more, you know, I have formal studies behind it, and as I said, I need to write, you know, statements regarding that. But I want to keep those things out from the crafting. We'll see where it goes.
And that makes sense to me, of course, and because you mentioned that. Also, in this crafting, it seems to me, because there's an audience in mind a little bit, isn't there? I mean, you're doing things in it that are referencing pop culture and different kinds of video games that people would know of. So there's an element of mm-hmm. kind of reflecting mm-hmm. pop culture. I mean, much art is, but also, you know, video games, Final Fantasy and Donnie Darko, other which are bits of what I've seen of yours, that also taps into another world, doesn't it? To me, that's almost a world of like a teenager world, but it doesn't have to be. There's plenty of adults playing Final Fantasy, of course, and all of those games. Is that part of a world you're also still involved in, or are you just thinking about some of the people who want these things?
Well, one part of those I like. When I watched Donnie Darko, I think it was like a year ago again, I said, well, why not try to make Frank the Rabbit, you know? Sometimes, you know, I see something that, you know, some people, you know, people find interesting, like making miniature donuts or maybe a character from Final Fantasy. I never played Final Fantasy, but then I had the commission, so I decided to try to make that, you know? So it's always something that I either like and I would like to try, or maybe somebody is asking me to make something. For example, I recently made two plants from Plants vs. Zombies, which is a game I'm playing for a long time. So it's always like trying a different format but staying in the pop culture world, because I like pop culture and I think other people like it as well. And to refer to another thing which you mentioned, I also need to have the customer in mind. Okay, sometimes I'm making things for myself, or something just as an experiment. But if I'm making it as a gift to somebody or somebody that I will sell, I need to make it quality, you know, that it won't fall apart. I need to test the material, you know, I need to invest in that as well. So it kind of puts a little bit of pressure, or should I say expectations, on me and the work. But then, you know, I see it as something which is improving and upgrading the work itself. And I mean, I am doing it partially as a commercial venture, because I really want the whole thing to finance itself, you know. So I'm not paying from my own pocket, rather than it's self-generating, and then maybe, you know, if I earn some money, then I would invest in some material or in some tools, for example, and so it goes on, you know.
I really love that, because it's also embracing of the fact that you're playing Plants vs. Zombies or other games. That's not a world or a culture that you feel that you have to avoid. And in doing what you're doing, you're also embracing those things that you love, that are fun, that are games, that are pastimes, that aren't so serious. You know, to me, that seems so refreshing and a nice balance to you know, your academic side or curatorial side and writing side. You know, it seems like a nice dose of playfulness. And I've mentioned that before, but to hold on to. I don't know if you think about that too, or if this all just came naturally to you, but that just seems like a nice, it's not nice, but it seems like a powerful form, honestly, of being able to play. So
Thank you. I would like to have it as, as something which is, as you said, like, which is different from the, you know, the serious academic thing. So it is just play, but it's also like it's like a balance. It's on the scale, you know, with the serious stuff as well. And I think you also mentioned that at some moment it's like doing something as a teenager. I think I'm reconnecting in a way with my former self, who was making loads of things by hand. So I don't know. Let's see where this one takes me. I would like it to be kind of more complex and serious, quotation marks. But let's see where it goes. I don't want to pressurize it, because sometimes I do need to pressurize the professional thing, because there are loads of expectations and deadlines, and you need want to keep a certain professional level. It's kind of reflected in crafts as well, but, you know, I'm the one who's putting that, nobody else.
Right. I'm so glad we talked about that and you shared that. I want to ask you one more question. What are you reading now?
So I'm a big fan of science fiction in general, and some fantasy and fiction in general. I just finished Neil Gaiman's The Norse Mythology. I'm a big fan of him, of his work, so I was, you know, very interested to see what he did last. And right now I'm actually reading another American author. His name is William Zinser. He wrote a book on writing well. So he's a teacher, and he was teaching writing for a long time. And I'm trying to get some tips so I can write better. I would like to write more fiction, and that's an interest of mine in the past few years, apart from the curatorial things, which are like some kind of essays or catalog texts, which I've been working on as well.
Surgeon, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. I wish you well with your curating, writing, and craft making.
Thank you. Thank you for contacting me. If you're ever in Belgrade, let me know so we can do a street art tour.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.